Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Okay, are you on the edge of your seat this morning? If you're not, you will be. Let's welcome Pastor Jonathan Dyke as he comes to bring the word today.
Oh, good morning. This is a brilliant day. And you look brilliant. Thank you very much. I was waiting for someone to say that. And I'm just so excited on the inside. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Something's just, something's happening for absolutely no reason other than it's just happening. I think that's cool. And just as I was coming this morning, I don't know it was nuclear or geophysical or cheese, but something was just happening on the inside of my spirit. It was bubbling up, and then it began to pop here, there, and everywhere. Not me, the thing inside of me. And then there just began to be a bit of an energy going on inside of me. And I said, God, what's going on? He said, I'm going on. I said, God, what's that? He said, I'm that. I said, God, what are you doing? He said, I'm doing. Oh, I love that. And as we just got into the prime of prayer, it was like, oh, God, you're everything. Yes. And something really weird happened. For a moment, God reminded me of what not having God felt like. And once upon a time, I used to think I was everything. And then I had nothing. And now I feel nothing, but I have everything. I can remember not that long ago when I think, yeah, I've got everything. I've got everything I need, everything I want, everything that I think I should have. But actually, I've got nothing. But today, right now, I know I am nothing, but I've got everything. Yes. Everything. And I don't even know how to explain it other than just a tremendous knowledge. I know God. But I know God knows me. I've got this tremendous sense on the inside. Everything's going to be all right. I'm not in a crisis. God isn't in a crisis. God isn't getting stingy. He's El Shaddai, not El Stingy. Hallelujah. I began to realize God can afford to pay for what he wants me to do. I've even forgot my wallet, but God's remembered his. It's brilliant. And as we began to get into worship, and it was like, nothing, nothing, nothing is impossible for you, I just reminded time and time and time again where God has shown me that it's impossible for him to leave nothing as it is. It's just impossible for God to leave nothing as nothing. It's just impossible for God to leave those lonely as lonely, those that are desolate as desolate, and those that are sick as sick, and those that are bored as bored. It's impossible for God to leave nothing as it is. And it was like, oh my God. I was remembering the times and times where I've just heard God speak to me. Some of you may think I'm just mad. I don't care. Am I bothered? No, I'm not bothered. I know God speaks to me. He's speaking to me now. He's saying, stop waffling and get on with it. I can remember the times when I felt the hand of God on my life. Man, there's lots of hands out there. They're either trying to give you something or take something, aren't they? But God's hand just wants to embrace. Just wants to identify. Just wants to say, I'm here and I'm here for you. And time and time and time again, where I would just, Lord, I can remember seeing you, and you were like that, and you were like this. And maybe some of you are here, maybe some of you are watching on the stream, and you still see Jesus as a baby. He was. But man, how unusual. He just appeared. Maybe we just see Jesus as a boy, and he was. But what a boy. He's an amazing boy. Maybe we see Jesus as some bloke in history. He was a bloke in history. But I know, and as a Christian, we know he made history. He wasn't just a figment of my lack of imagination. And I think for some of us, he is. We just can't imagine God, who is real, I can't imagine God ever doing something to come into my reality, but he did. Maybe we can't imagine. I remember once upon a time, I just couldn't imagine. To me, God was just a mythical person. To me, God just lived in a place where boring people went. Not like you. I used to have this thing about church, that church, people inside it must look about as modern as the outside of it. And probably had about as much to offer me as the building seemed to do, but suddenly I heard God. I'm not a stupid person. I've got a degree in making stuff up as I go along. I have actually got a degree. I'm not a stupid person. I like to know how things work. I like to know what makes things tick. And just as we were coming into this time of worship, I suddenly realised what now makes me tick is just knowing who Jesus is. Part of what God was showing me is he said, would you feel like this if you weren't at church? I said, yes, I think I would. He said, would you feel like this if there wasn't this great praise and worship going on? And I said, yes, I think I would. He said, would you still love me like you do if people weren't being baptised today? And I said, yes, I would. He said, if you were on a desert island on your own just with me, would that be enough? And I said, yes, it would. Because your everything comes into my nothing and changes it. And as I was just praying for this, and when Pastor Clive said, you're going to be preaching, it's like, I was both amazed, in the awe of God, but I just thought, God, you're really awful. Trying to be very honest here. Because I know the value of being here. And I know the value of you being where you are. And I understand the importance of when God wants to speak, how he wants to speak. So for me, it was both awesome and awful. Is that making some sense? I don't think you're awful. I think you're brilliant. But I know that God is both awesome and awful. In the sense that he's got some things to say and there are some things he wants to do. And one of those things, he wants every single person here under the sound of my voice, whether you're here in immediacy or whether you're watching on the stream, he wants you to know God wants to come into your nothing and change it. Anybody under the sound of my voice, either here in any other continent watching, it's the same God. He's got the same passion for you. He's got the same purpose for you. He wants you to know there is a reason for breathing out carbon dioxide and breathing in oxygen. He wants you to know that there is an identification that he has, by the grace of God, aligned himself up with where we were so he can change us to where he is. Some of you are looking bored. Don't. Boredom is of the flesh. It's a word of encouragement. If you feel bored, just pray or read the Bible, all right? If you're into sex, drugs and rock and roll, maybe you shouldn't be, but if you are, it's all in the Bible. Everything we need for life and godliness, you'll find here. Hallelujah. And we're just going to look at a couple of scriptures, and I know God is going to come into our nothingness with everything and change it. Are you ready for that? We're in Matthew chapter 3, and a brilliant piece of scripture, and As I had this tremendous opportunity just to spend about half an hour or so with these guys that we've just killed, baptized, buried. This really was part of the scripture that God seemed to be speaking on, and I just want to unpack it a little bit more if you'll allow me to. Chapter 3 verse 13, it says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee." Let me tell you, Jesus always comes from somewhere to where people are at. Jesus always comes from somewhere to where you or I are, with a view, with a purpose, with something in mind. Jesus came from somewhere to be where we are. Okay, your concept of Galilee, maybe it's a long way away, but it may just be outside your house or outside your now or outside your situation you're in, outside your difficulty, outside your struggle with life. But Jesus comes from where he is to where you are. Right now, Jesus wants to come to where you are right now. I think that's pretty awesome. You might already know who Jesus is. You may not have a clue. Either way, Jesus wants to come to where you are right now. And I just love that. He came to be baptized. Something was going to happen in these new moments. And we've just witnessed, haven't we? 10 people being baptized. And it's brilliant. But I just think God wants us all maybe to be baptized again in a kind of way. Is that all right? I've got the microphone, hallelujah, it's all right. I need to be baptized by you. This is John, he recognizes Jesus. The wonderful thing about this is when Jesus was walking along, John says, hey, look at this, guys, there's someone coming who wants to take stuff out of your life and give you life. The Bible says he comes to take away the sin of the world, and that was explained a little bit before, and to give you the knowledge of God or the Holy Spirit or the person of God, if you like. And today, Jesus wants to do that afresh. Thank you for that. Chris, I'm glad you're back. Jesus wants to come into our nothing and take nothing away and give everything he has instead. Yes. Hallelujah. That's why I'm really happy to know I've got everything, but I'm nothing. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It goes on here. As soon as Jesus was baptized, we're in verse 16. I know we're missing a few verses, but I want to get into what I believe at the core of this. As Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, say at that moment. This is that moment for us. Anybody, this is your moment who wants Jesus to come into your nothing and bring his everything. It's not tomorrow or Christmas. Christmas, we've missed it. Sorry, it was in October, but we won't go there. Jesus is picking the moment, and it's now. He wants to come into your moment now, into your nothing now, and change it with his everything now. Oh, is there anybody here that believes anything? Okay, I'll just preach to the lectern. I really don't mind. Jesus was baptized. He went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened. Man, we have to understand this in a maybe a different kind of way. We all know here in this congregation, those of you that are plugged in, you know we stand on an open heaven. But why? It's everything that God was is available to who is nothing. It's everything that God was is available to those who have nothing. Everywhere where God lived and still rules and reigns right now is available to you and me. And we're nothing. Is that somehow Jesus, through this act of obedience, this act of submission, opened up a doorway for you and me. But why? It's so God could know you. It's not just so you and I could walk around saying, hey, I've got an open heaven over me. Yeah, but doors are for walking in. Doors are for walking through, aren't they? And I just love this. Through this act of obedience, Jesus was fully God. He wasn't doing this for himself. He was doing it for us. He was doing this for the nobodies and the nothings. That somehow would read this and say, this is my moment when I can know there is a God in heaven. Because there is a heaven. And then it goes on, and again, as I'm reading this, he saw the Spirit of God. Well, what's that? It's the power, it's the expression of God in a different kind of way. Now, here we have something very exciting for me as a Christian, because a lot of people say, you know, how can God be three people? And we try and explain it. He's like sort of ice and water and steam. And it's like, I don't know how to explain it. I just know that God is three persons all in one. And they're all God, and they're all working independently of each other, but they are all God together too. But I only know that because I remember when I didn't know that God, I knew another one called me, myself, and I. And I know how I worship that God as well. I just did stuff for me, please myself, and whatever I wanted to do. Does that make sense? Anybody know what I'm talking about? And I realized that when I thought I had everything, it was because I served a me, myself, and I kind of God. But now I have nothing other than everything God has given me. I know it's because I now serve a living God. And here we find... Hey, Ralph, good to hear you, man. Here, at the moment, heaven was opened and he saw the Spirit of God descend upon him. I just want to encourage you, in your moment, in your nothing, you can't change it, but God will come down and change it. In your situation, in your crisis, in your constraint, in your oppression, in your sickness, in whatever it is, God will come down and change it. I suddenly realized, man, I haven't got to be perfect to be perfected. And everybody said, you're right. I know you all know that, all right? You're being very kind. Hallelujah. If you don't know how perfect you are, ask the people that you live with. Huh. Spirit of God descended like a dove, alighting on him. I just love this picture. The whole of God. The Father. We're about to hear from him. There's the Son of God. We see him. And the Holy Spirit, we begin to perceive him. I love that. God is totally, utterly committed to you at this moment to change your nothing into his everything. I love that. God didn't send a messenger or a note or a IOU. God came himself. And sometimes, if we're just aware of the nothingness of our lives and just the struggles and the tribulations, we can go everywhere that we can with what we perceive is on offer without realizing if we call upon God, he's on offer. I remember being like that. For me, if you wanted more, you just earned more money. To do that, you worked harder. To do that, you got more work. To do that, you did whatever you did to get more money. And suddenly you couldn't earn any money. So you just had to value while you were around. What's it all about, Alfie? I did it my way, became I did it Yahweh. Some of you are not old enough to remember that song. If you do, then you need to sort it out, all right? I realised I was doing it my way. But there's another way. There's a better way. And it goes on and it says, and I heard a voice from heaven, and I loved it. Now you've got everything there is to have. You see God is real. You hear God is real. And now the reality of God touches someone. Man, I don't know how much more convincing you or I need to know that God is real. God is a creator of everything. Created the beginning from the end from the beginning, knows everything in between. Maybe our experience of God has been more of a person of history. Maybe it's been more of a mythological person. Maybe it's just been, well, Jesus is the same as every other God. No, he's not. Because Jesus is the only God who still lives today. Jesus is not the same as any other God. Every other God has died. And that's it. Nada. Nicked. Nothing. Zippo. But sometimes when we've got nothing, even worshipping dead idols is more than known at all. Jobs, cars, ambitions, ourself. We just need to plug into something somewhere, somehow, to take us out of our reality. Maybe that was just me. I can remember doing that. I used to worship loads and loads of things, but they were all dead. But Jesus isn't dead. Jesus is alive and he lives today. And he rules today and he reigns today. But I love these three things here that we hear God say, this is my son. Oh, I love it. Why do I love it? Because it means God isn't just anybody's God, he's mine. And I'm not just anybody's, I belong to God. I love my son. It breaks the bondages of me not knowing what relationship's about. It sets me free from having a relationship with God. This is my son. Oh, I love that. I've heard that so many times. You're my son. Every time I hear it, it's awesome and awful. Because I know what it cost. I know what it meant. As you still understand it with me. Then it goes on. Whom I love. I love that. The first time Jesus says something like that to me, he didn't quite say that. He said it in a different kind of way. And to be fair, I don't think I've heard Jesus say ever to me that he loves me in that kind of way. He just showed me he did. And in that moment, like this moment, I realized there was a love more passionate, greater, endless, unfailing, unflappable. But it came from heaven down to me. I realized there was an aspect of God's heart which was never going to be broken, never going to run out. And it was available now for me in my moment and for you in this moment. And then it goes on and God again says, and with him I'm well pleased. And as I ran this, I thought, oh Lord, I want to please you. I want to live to please you. And God said, that's fine. As long as you're prepared for me to change you. God says, yeah, I want to be pleased with you. This was both a now time and a future time. Jesus says, I'm going to be pleased with you, but I'm going to be pleased through you as you change. Jesus isn't pleased with everything I do, I know that. But every time I realise again, his everything comes into my nothing to change me. And I thank God for that, even though sometimes it hurts, he's pleased with me. And even when I'm having trouble, and let me tell you, trouble as a Christian, we need to expect it. Jesus says, in this world you have it. But don't worry, because he's in there with you and he's overcome it for you. In this world you will have trouble, but let me tell you, I'd sooner have trouble with Jesus than have trouble without him. I'll say that one again. I'd sooner be in this world in trouble with Jesus than I would be without him. Because with him, we can do anything if that's what he wants to do. It says, this is my son whom I love, with him I'm well pleased. And I believe God is saying exactly the same thing for everybody here. I believe Jesus is wanting to remind us afresh of why he entered into the water of baptism all those years ago, was to let you and I know, and everybody watching on the stream, everybody around your life, know that God is real. He exists. He really does. That God is not just someone who exists, he's someone who has come down from heaven onto the earth to change it. I know a lot of people that believe in a God, but they don't expect God to do anything. Well, he can't anyway, he's dead, right? But some people just believe in a God just for hope. Jesus is my hope. Even if this world falls apart, I know where I'm going. Even if this fall was to open up, maybe some of you are praying that, stop it right now. Even if this fall was to open up and I fell down and died, I know where I'm going. Because my confidence is not in the nothing, it's in the everything that I've been given. It's not on what I've been able to build, feeble as it is. But it's what I've allowed Christ to build in me, strong as that is. But I just believe God wants to let everybody here know he's real. Maybe some of you have felt that reality in the last hour or so in different ways. Well, let me tell you, God is more than just a feeling. Maybe you just sensed something different in how you've seen church. Well, Jesus didn't come for church. He came for his kingdom. And he came for you to be part of his kingdom. Jesus didn't come for churchianity. He came to give you and me a kingdom which will never spoil or fade or perish. It may be that some of you have just come into something and it's just been so beyond your current thinking, it's just blown your mind. Well, God wants to blow our minds. I don't know anywhere, anybody else, any books, any philosophies where the creator of everything would come down into our nothing. I just don't know anybody like that. I don't know any religion, any cult even, where they believe in someone that will come in and change you. No, they'll expect you to change on your own. Do certain things, be certain things, say certain things. But Christ comes by his spirit to change you, to change me. Is anybody in the slightest bit interested in this? I think this is cool because this is God's heart. And in a few moments, I'm going to get us to stand up. Why? Why not? I've been standing up for ages. But I just sense God is speaking to some people here. Maybe you already know who Christ is. Maybe you've entered into this relationship with Christ, but maybe today you're more aware of the everything you don't have rather than the everything that he's given you. I don't know. Maybe that's you. Maybe for some of you, you've done your best, had a go. It's getting near Christmas. It'll all be all right on the night. Maybe it will be. I don't know. What if he comes back in the daytime? Then you're in trouble. Sign up for a rainy day. You'll probably have one. I look forwards to the good old days. They never existed. They're in front of you, not behind you. We use all this language. It's really funny. But I came from another congregational lifestyle before I came here, and they loved Advent. And this is the second Sunday of Advent. Oh, of course, you all know that because you're all good Anglican people. Hallelujah. But what does advent mean? It means an occurrence, an appearance. The light has come. And I can remember, again, I'm going to close with this. I can remember when I thought I had all the light there was, but I was walking around in darkness. Staggering around, making do, bumping into life. Life bumping into me. And suddenly the light of God's presence came on. And I believe Jesus is the light of the world now. But I also believe he's the light for the world now. I also believe that he wants to shine his light into your and my life so that we know where we're going and we know how to get there. But I also believe, without making this sound really heavy duty, that part of the reason why Jesus appeared, the Bible says, was to destroy, break, render powerless everything that wants to make your nothing all you have. Jesus appeared to break the power, the hold of everything that wants to steal life from you. Everything that wants to rob life from you. And everything that ultimately wants to destroy you. Jesus did not get baptized to release a destroyer, but a savior. God didn't speak about judgment at this time in this way at all. He came to release his favor and his grace. And the Holy Spirit did not come in the sense of to come and tell people off. He came to convict them. Wait a minute, there's a different way. I'm going my own way. I need to change. And he came with that same power to set them free. I can change because Christ can change me. And I just believe in the next few moments, God wants to set you free. It's a bit of a funny thing to say. But all I can experience in my spirit to tell you is I just feel so free on the inside. Embracing as nothing the everything of God sets you free. Embracing everything God is right as you are now starts to change something in your life. So let's all stand up, shall we? It's 6 minutes past 12. This is your moment. I said this is your moment. This is your moment right now. Yeah, we've enjoyed the presence of God in the prayer, in the praise, and in the worship. And God, I tell you, he loves it. He loves it. He loves it. We've seen people get baptized. We've buried some people. They've come up. They've received. God loves it. But let me tell you that. God's love hasn't run out. God's love hasn't finished. God's love isn't short. God wants to love you. I said he wants to love you. Everybody under the sound of my voice, either here or in any other nation, God wants to demonstrate his love to you. He wants to set you free. I said he wants to set you free. He wants you to know that there's ownership. This is my son. Oh, hallelujah. You are a child of the living God if you know Jesus Christ. Ownership. He loves his son. And in that statement is identification. My life is not my own. And it's all right. My life belongs to God. And then lastly, he wants to prove himself in you. So first he wants to prove himself to you. Then he wants to prove himself through you. I'm well pleased. What does that mean? I approve or I'm proven. Or if you can remember, he did it my way, then you remember the old little line that used to get stamped on the eggs. That you can make omelets with it and not get salmonella. Do you remember those? Well, that approval is like that stamp that God puts on you when he comes down and stamps said, yeah, I'm going to change you into everything I want you to be. I'm going to make you every kind of person I want you to become. There's a stamp. That's what that can mean, is a stamp that God puts on a Christian's head and says, yeah, you're one of mine. You're going to make it. You're going to get through this. You're going to end up on the top, not the bottom. You're an overcomer, not an undertaker. You're the head, not the tail. Hallelujah. That's the stamp of God. God wants every single person here to know that kind of thing from God. So let's just lift up our hands, shall we? Going to go on this microphone. Hallelujah, because I like this one. It smells brilliant. Right now, this is your moment. Whether you know Jesus personally or you know him in a different kind of way than I'm describing, it's still your moment. But I just want us together to spend a few moments just thanking God that he's real, he's alive.
He is Lord, right now, right now. Let's give this next few parts of this moment just to God. Let's just exalt God together. He's mighty. You may know him as your Savior. You may not, but he is a Savior. You may know him as your Lord, or you may not, but he is Lord. You may know him as healer, or you may not, but he is healer. Let's just exalt him, because he's Lord. He's worthy. The Bible says he's always worthy of praise. Let's just give this moment to Jesus, because he is real. He's alive. He's right here, right now. He's a true and a living God, the beginning and the end, the faithful one, the majesty. We've sung about the majesty, but his majesty is here. He is almighty. That means nothing is beyond God. He's everywhere, all the same, all at the same time. He is wonderful. There is no other God beside Jesus today, let me tell you. And just as we got our eyes focused on Jesus, whether you know Jesus in this way or not, let me tell you, he knows you. The Bible says that even before you knew who you were, he knew who you were. The Bible says even before he created the bit of nice carpet that you're stood on, or the building that you're in, or even his nation, he said that he called you. There is something come down from heaven already that's aimed towards you. Maybe you just don't know what it is, but there is something. It says before the creation of everything, he thought about you. And out of that thought, out of that love, he called you. Maybe for some of you, the first part of responding is, I just need to know who this Jesus is. And if that's you, then you can do that this morning. Maybe for some of you, you already know that Jesus is. Maybe you just say, actually, I just want you to live free in relationships. I want you to live free from fear. That you'll just end up with nothing. That's all right. Because his grace is bigger than your nothing. But maybe you've just been working so hard at trying to be everything you know God wants you to be. Just let God be God. Trust in him. In quietness and trust is my salvation. Father, right now I want to thank you that your spirit speaks to every heart here. I release that revelation, wisdom, right now over every heart here. In this building, over the streaming, that you will speak right now, right now. Those words of identification with you, of belonging to you, of freedom in you. That you want to change our lives in this moment for your glory. You want to change our lives and set us free. Free to be children of the living God. You want to take this moment and change our lives with your spirit and by your words. Father, I just pray right now, especially for those who just don't know who you are. That not only did you come for them, you lived for them, you died for them, you rose up from the grave for them, you ascended into heaven for them, and you've made available your life here on earth for them. I pray for every person right here who doesn't know you in this kind of way, that they would know that you want to change their life. You want to set them free from every influence that tries to rob, steal, or destroy from them and give them your life instead. Now, please, every eye closed. It does all go dark. It's all right. Don't worry. But you may be one of these people. Well, I just came to see someone baptized. Well, this morning is your moment. Jesus came from Galilee for people. He's come wherever he's come for you today, right now. You may just be come because your mates asked you to come. You may have come because you just wanted to see someone go through with it. I don't know why you've come, but I know why Jesus has come. He's come because he wants to speak to you, touch you, and change you. You may have come because you fear you have to. Well, Jesus doesn't feel he has to. He wants to. He longs to. He desires to. So if you don't know this Jesus in this way, then just in a moment, I'm going to ask you just to lift your hand up so we can see, because I want to pray with you. And as I do that, it's like you're just putting your hand up to heaven and you're just grabbing hold of what's already coming down right now. God is already speaking to you right now. Even though you don't know who God is, he still knows who you are and he still speaks to you right now. And in a moment, I'm going to ask you just to respond in that way. Why? Because I think we just surrender. Sit on all the Westerns, don't you? Hands up. Everybody puts their hands up. And sometimes we just have to surrender to God. God, you're Lord, you're God, you're amazing. I want to know more about you. I want to know who you really are. And as soon as God sees that response, he does something. So in just a short time, I'm going to say, right, anybody wants to do that, put your hands up. We've been praying for you for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. That you would come into this understanding that God is real and God's for you. We've been praying for you that you'll know who this Jesus is. He comes to set you free and change your life. We've been praying for you to understand that maybe you've just been making do, but God's got a kingdom he wants to give you, which is amazing. We've been praying for you that maybe you're sick. Well, God wants to set you free from that. We've been praying for you because maybe you're just a bit miserable, a bit fed up. Well, Jesus wants to set you free from that. Maybe you just got a toothache. Well, Jesus doesn't want to have toothache. Maybe you got a greater condition in your body than that. Well, Jesus came to set people free from not just that condition, but the causes of it. So I'm just going to invite people right now, if you don't know who this Jesus is, this Savior, this one who comes to identify, comes to belong, comes to change you, if you don't know who that is, with every eye closed to you, I just want you to put your hand up very quickly so I can see if you want to know who this Jesus is this morning. If you're watching on the stream, I invite you to do the same. You may have just clicked in by accident, you may have just logged on, you thought it was something else. Well, it's not something else, it's change day for you. In this moment of time, Jesus wants to change your life too. So in 10 seconds, just put your hands up. If you just, yep, I want to know Jesus in the way that you're describing. I want to know Jesus in the way that you seem to know him. Then I'd love to pray with you this morning. 5 seconds. Know who he really is and what he's really done. Father, I really want to thank you for every heart that's responded this morning. That you've come into our moment with your everything, with a desire to change it. If there's anybody here that you just feel, well, today's my day to get set free from this sickness, get set free from this condition, then you just put your hands up right now and respond to God, all right? God wants to set you free right now. There's hands up going all over the place. This morning, I want to thank you right now. In Jesus' name, we break every spirit of infirmity. We break every spirit of sickness that's operating over these people's lives right now in Jesus' name. I want to thank you that you came that they may have life, and life in all its fullness. And I release that spirit of life over them physically, emotionally, mentally, in every kind of way. You are free. If the Son has set you free, and we just declare that freedom right now over these people, and I thank you that you work on their behalf to bring them into freedom, total health, vitality and energy today in this moment in Jesus' name. Just lastly, as I was praying this morning, Lord, just I mentioned this crisis thing. Maybe for some of you in your business, maybe there's just a little bit of fear coming. It's like, what's going to happen to me? I really don't know. All this stuff's going on, people are being unemployed, businesses are going down the tubes. What's going to happen to me? Well, let me tell you, I know what's going to happen to you. You're going to end up going up. Amen. You're going to go up. That's what's going to happen to you. You're going to become more prosperous, not less prosperous. You're going to lend to many and borrow from none. You're going to be wealthy. That's what's going to happen to you. You're going to be saved in it and from it. According to the word of the Lord. But if there is just a few people here, and I think there is, at the moment it's just like, I just don't know what's going to happen. I'm getting a bit worried. It's like time when there's lots of expense and lots of stuff. And maybe you're just getting a little bit of fear. Well, God wants to set you free from fear, okay? He wants you to be fearless. Because in that place of being fearless, God will give you tremendous wisdom, understanding of how not only is he going to save you from this situation, but going to use you to save others from it too. So again, please close every eye because we don't embarrass anybody. But if that's you, you just feel a bit anxious, a bit concerned about, flip me, I don't know what's going on, then just raise your hand up right now because we want to pray for you. There's loads of people there, that's it. Just put your hands up. Don't be embarrassed. Put them up. Father, I want to thank you right now that you have called and chosen every single person according to your goodwill and your pleasure that's put their hand up. And right now, I just break every spirit of fear, anxiety or intimidation. I silence you right now in Jesus' name. And I want to thank you for a revelation of your spirit, of your word, to bring hope and confidence to these individuals today and from this day forward, that they will be wealthy in their environment. Wealthy in the home, wealthy in the school, wealthy in the workplace. I thank you right now. You've dealt a death blow to poverty. And you've released your wealth and your riches to us. In the name of Jesus. Let's give the Lord a great big shout and a clap. Come on, he's awesome this morning. I've had enough. I don't know about you. I think God said, how many of you have just heard from God or received something from God? Encourage me, come on. There's three of you. Brilliant. For those watching on the stream, there are thousands of people here all responded. Let's just give the Lord a clap, shall we? Welcome back, Class of Clive. Hallelujah!
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.